We're going to worship today using the Come Worship format, and we're going to begin by lighting candles on the Advent wreath. You'll find the order for that on the back page of your bulletin, so that's the purple part. So there on the back page. And as we begin, I'll ask you to stand. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Along with the prophets and people through the ages, we dream of a world of peace and justice. We share John the Baptizer's dream of making crooked paths straight, of making a smooth highway broad enough for all God's people to move on together in peace and harmony. Our actions can build that highway. God's dream can become our dream. Last week, we lit the first Advent candle, reminding us to hope while we wait. The flame of this second candle reminds us that God's dreams can become real and burn brightly in our world. And together, loving God, give us the desire, the willingness, and the courage to be part of your dream for a world of peace. We pray in the name of Jesus, your dream come true. Amen.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
Almighty God, who sent your servant John the Baptist to prepare your people to welcome the Messiah, inspire us, the ministers and stewards of your truth, to turn our disobedient hearts to you, that when the Christ shall come again to be our judge, we may stand with confidence before his glory, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Because of his love, rich in mercy, he made us alive in him, saved us from death, rescued the sinners. This is the gift of God. Holy is the Lamb of God. Holy is the one who loves, not by word.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
All flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, congratulations to Kathleen for getting through all of those rulers and governors, and yeah, that's always a bit of a maneuver. As I was putting together materials for the second of the four last things study this coming week, I realized that it's actually a very tall order to consider death, judgment, hell, and heaven in just a little over 4 hours. And I was thinking that probably hope, peace, joy, and love might be a stretch easier, which may be the reason that things have kind of leaned that way. But I couldn't help thinking also that the outlines can do little more than create countless rabbit holes for anyone who wants to dig a little deeper. And it also reminded me about just how much everything connects to everything else in a complex web when we're willing to go just a little bit deeper in any exploration. Welcome to join us. Let me know beforehand, and I'll make sure that you get the materials ahead of time, and you're more than welcome to come along. Everything connects to everything else. John's call to repentance and his invitation to baptism was unique. We Christians tend to consider baptism from our own narrow understanding. Baptism as a water ritual of belonging was not uncommon throughout Hebrew and Jewish communities of John's time. John the Baptist, so named for his distinctive baptism endeavors, was clear that his baptism was a baptism of repentance. John's message was but a continuation of the message of all the prophets before him. Through repentance, God would lead God's people home. The call to repentance was a call to come home. And that connects very much to the Exodus story when God called the Hebrews out of slavery, home to the promised land. Later, when Israel was called to exile in Babylon, God again invited them back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland. The call of the prophets through the ages is to God's people to repent and return. Return back home where we belong. Standing probably at best knee-deep in the water of the muddy Jordan, the very stream crossed centuries before to enter the promised land, John was issuing the age-old call to return. Not to a nation, not to a society, or even to a special interest group. The call was to the individual. Return home. The answer to the invitation to repent is confession. God answers with grace-filled forgiveness. In the ancient Christian pattern of worship, the sequence is very common: invitation or call to repentance, confession of sin, absolution, naming the certainty of forgiveness, and then exchange of the peace. And notice how that progression ends. It ends with peace. The pattern is invitation, repentance, assurance of forgiveness, and that all results in peace. It may be inconspicuous, but that's the order whenever we gather for worship: invitation, repentance, forgiveness, peace. And that is the only road to real peace. Living in Western culture these days seems to be all about finding a minority interest group with which to align ourselves. If we can find a label for ourselves, we're being told, that solidifies our identity, helps us to answer the burning questions about who we are. People are struggling to know who they are these days. Where they fit in. And for the most part, the majority of people have left the places that would help them with those identity questions. They've left the organizations and the sub-communities that have been part of life in the Western world for decades and probably centuries. That questioning, that searching for our identity may begin when we're teenagers, but if it's not resolved, it continues. Ideally, we're told, the best or perhaps the most profitable identity is aligned with a persecuted minority. It's ideal, I guess, if you can claim to belong to a social, sexual, political, or religious minority, because minorities have de facto permission to call out the rest of society on mistreatment and past injustice. That seems to naturally grant the right and claim to financial reparations. And that seems to be the pattern these days. Now, there's a lot about our history of which we can't be proud. We've done some pretty stupid and inhumane things to each other in the past. And unfortunately, we still do. The way we've treated and still treat people who are different because of culture, skin color, ethnicity, language, sexuality, religion, or politics. We're trying harder than ever, it seems, to erase past injustices with public apologies, monetary compensation, pulling down or covering up statues of historical figures, rewriting textbooks, a variety of attempts in vain to change the past. And it shouldn't surprise us when none of that works. But we are surprised. We can't change the past. History, driven by human nature, is ugly. And the future, if driven by human nature, will be too. And while we can be certain of the tendency for history to repeat itself, we need to be aware that those who don't learn it are the ones doomed to repeat it. The woke culture we're hearing so much about was once upon a time about awareness. It was about being awake. Its original relationship, in its origins, it named something of the relationship between black and white populations in American population. But unfortunately, it's now applied itself almost strictly to identity politics. There's value in being woke as it was originally conceived. There's value in being aware and awake. Actually, Jesus warned us to be awake. Unfortunately, it's become twisted and deformed now, insisting on political correctness, and has led to what is now known as cancel culture. The vast majority of society is now afraid to speak, lest someone is offended by their opinion and decides to cancel them. If I don't agree with your opinion, I cancel you. You're dead to me. Being woke now further divides an already polarized society. But there's a better way, and it's not new. Everything is connected with everything else. The way to true peace is repentance. At the core of Christian faith is this notion that we each need to yield our self-interest to others. acknowledging our personal failure to hit the mark, which is the definition of sin. It's not hitting the mark, not reaching the standard. Acknowledging our personal failure, our sin, makes repentance, which is strictly turning around, it makes repentance possible. When we acknowledge that we haven't hit the mark, then we are able to turn around. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It's the way to peace. Let there be peace on earth, as the song goes, and let it begin with me. The repentance needs to happen here. John issued the ancient prophetic call to make the crooked straight. Return. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. Back on the blue colored insert, on page 2, you'll find an affirmation of faith, and you're welcome to remain seated if you like. We'll say these words together. We believe in one God who is creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the Creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with the Christ, our Comforter and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. Amen.
We've come together to worship and adore you, our sovereign God, trusting in love that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus, your Son, who intercedes for us. We offer prayers and petitions to you, Father, saying, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. Advent anticipates Jesus' birth and the promise of a new kingdom on earth. With Jesus' second coming, the earth will be made anew and perfected. And while we wait, we are to prepare the way of the Lord, making his path straight, and make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Father, help us to live out the gospel message in our daily life and bear witness to our love of Jesus by helping the homeless, the prisoner, those in pain, and those without hope. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the leaders of this troubled world. We pray for our King Charles, our Prime Minister Justin, our Premier Susan, our Mayor Kate, and the leaders of the world's governments, that with the power and responsibility that they've been given by their citizens, they will govern wisely. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the Church Universal and all who minister in your name. Linda, our acting primate, and Germond. Linda, I got it wrong. Archbishop David, Jeffrey Ardeen, Deacons Debbie and Isabel, honorary assisting clergy John and Rod, and all cathedral staff. In the Anglican Cycle of Prayer, the province of the Episcopal Church of Sudan, Archbishop Ezekiel Kumir Kondo, Primate and Bishop of Khartoum, and in the Provincial Cycle of Prayer, the Diocese of Central Newfoundland, Bishop John Wotton. Lord, in your mercy. We keep in mind those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, especially Donna, Charles, Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Graham, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Dave, Janice, Dolph, Dave, Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Savannah, Thomas, and Betty, and anyone you would care to name aloud at this time or in silence. We ask that you lift them up on eagle's wings, as well as all those who provide them with care and support. Condolences we provide to Kathleen Snow and family on the death of Margaret Kerr. Rest eternal grant unto her, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon her. Lord, in your mercy. Coming to the communion table with humility and reverence, we open ourselves to your will for us. We open ourselves to your healing grace, and in turn, for ourselves to see you and those around us. Lord, in your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, revive us, enrich us, transform us, to fervently seek your kingdom and righteousness, and in doing so, to live our lives to your glory, so that the good news of salvation will continue to spread around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saints of God, let us trust in God's love for us and confess our sin, confident in God's mercy. Refining God, you have sent us prophets, and we have not listened. We have not always determined what is best or made way for your reign in our lives, our church, and our society. Forgive us, we pray, and renew your covenant within us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends in Christ, we can be confident if we repent, God is sure to forgive us. The one who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. The Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forgive you and keep you in eternal life. Amen. It is grateful for the promise of Christ's peace that we share it with one another. And I'll ask you to stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
I've been
God, our strength, we are nothing without you. Receive all we offer you this day as you sustain us with your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During the Great Thanksgiving, you're welcome to remain standing, or you may be seated or kneel as you're most comfortable. In this prayer, we offer our thanks to God Almighty in heaven. We thank him for the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray for the continuing strengthening and guiding of his Holy Spirit in our lives and in our communities. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who in the fullness of time came among us in our flesh and opened to us the way of salvation. Now we watch for the day when he will come again in power and great triumph to judge this world, that we without shame or fear may rejoice to behold his appearing. With a mighty arm you parted the waters and led your people to liberation. When we were in exile, you gathered us up in your bosom and led us home like a mother sheep. When we were mistreating our own, you sent prophets to set us right. John the Baptizer preached repentance, and by baptism in Jordan waters, issued anew your call to turn around and be forgiven. When the time was right, you sent Jesus to set us free. And so, with gratitude and expectation, we remember that Jesus took bread, blessed, broke, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." And so we remember that Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant of love and grace poured out for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we wait for him to come again, O God, stir up your power and restore us by sending your Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are they who are called to the supper of the Lamb. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. As we stand, let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you for feeding us with this heavenly banquet. Help us always to hear the prophet's call to turn our hearts to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. May God, the Father, judge all-merciful, make us worthy of a place in his kingdom. Amen. May God the Son, coming among us in power, reveal in our midst the promise of his glory. Amen. May God the Holy Spirit make us steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
And I know there's at least a few children here today, so please come on down and pick up your instruments and be prepared to make a joyful noise. Okay, Paul, go.